Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Good morning. For all you guys who weren't here as soon as we started, he is risen. All right. It's Easter. We're going to be in John chapter 21 this morning. I'm going to go through and read the passage. John 21, starting in verse 1, says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' They said to him, 'We're going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' And they answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you've just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Let's stop right there and let's pray. Father, we just want to commit this time into your hand. Thank you, Lord, for everything that Easter represents. Lord, we're so thankful for the way that you work in our lives, for the way that you've turned us around, for the way that you've given us a brand new life. And all these things come because of the resurrection. Lord, as we celebrate that this morning, we talk about some of these things. I just pray that you'd be working in our hearts, and especially those hearts of the people who are here who don't know you yet. Lord, we know that you love them. We know that you care about them. We know that you want them. We know that you paid the price for them. And so, Lord, we just commit this time into your hand, pray that you bless it, and that you do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, anytime I'm doing an Easter study, one of the things I do is I look at poll numbers on Easter, and I talk to everybody about this. How many of you were at Sunrise Service? Raise your hands. Okay, I'm not doing the same study, but I am talking about some of the same things. So anyway, I went through and I look at polls and stuff. And so they do these polls every year, and I'm always interested in how many people know anything about Easter specifically. And so actually it was pretty good this year. They talked about, you know, they did a poll on to just general Americans on whether or not they knew what Easter was about. The problem was that it was a multiple guess poll. You know how you took those tests in high school and there are four answers, and you just had to guess between the four a lot of times. Well, the four answers were, what's Easter about? Easter is about, number one, the resurrection, or number two, the ascension of Christ. Number three, what was it? The crucifixion of Christ. And number four was the Last Supper. And so 20% of people got resurrection. And so that was awesome. That's up from about 25% who didn't know, or excuse me, 80% got that it was a resurrection. 20% still didn't know what it was about, even though the answer was sitting there. That's up from about 25%. In any case, when you look at what Easter is about, the world thinks many times that Easter is just about Easter bunny, you know, Easter rabbits and stuff like that. Like literally, you guys, I grew up in a non-Christian home. I mean, we prayed before meals, but that was it. I could do the prayer for you. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we must be fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. And I always said it that fast because I was hungry, wanted to eat. Anyway, when Easter would come around, this is what Easter meant to me. It was Easter bunnies, Easter baskets, Easter eggs, a new pair of jeans, and a new shirt, and egg salad sandwiches for the next 2 weeks. That's what Easter was to me. And obviously, it's much more than that when you're going through the Bible. It's all about the resurrection of Christ and what the resurrection does for us. One of the things that the Bible says is that we died with Christ at his death. We rise with him at his resurrection. And that's what baptism represents. Baptism is a picture of death and burial and resurrection. When you go into the water, it's why you're dipped in the water. When you go in the water, it's like you die. When you come up out of the water, it's like you have a brand new life. Your old life is gone. You got a brand new life that comes from there, and it's all based on the resurrection. Well, this is the third resurrection appearance of Jesus, as it says in this passage, to the disciples specifically. And I'm titling this Breakfast with Jesus, because that's what he does here. He makes breakfast for these guys. Now, I like food. I don't know a lot of people who don't like food. I really like breakfast. I don't eat breakfast a whole lot because I have to space meals out and all that stuff. Otherwise, I blow up like a balloon. But I like breakfast a lot. And when I think about breakfast, there's certain things I like for breakfast. And so I like cream of wheat. If you don't know what cream of wheat is, it's just awesome. My wife thinks it's not, but she doesn't know what she's talking about. And so it's like this white stuff. I don't even know where it comes from. You cook it up and it's nice and hot. And you take butter and you put it right in the middle of it. And it makes a little butter volcano. And then you put sugar all over the top of it. And you put milk around it, just around the edges. You don't want it to get into the butter. And then you just dip into that. And it's just like so good. Cream of wheat. Okay. You could do the same thing with oatmeal, but it's not as good. But what I really like is eggs. Eggs are just what you have for breakfast, right? And so I like scrambled eggs. I like eggs any way you can cook them. So I like scrambled eggs. That's what I usually do. I like fried eggs. I like omelets, all that kind of stuff. I like it all. And I love the smell of eggs in the morning and bacon. I like bacon. There's nothing better than that. You wake up in the morning, your wife has gotten up 2 hours before you. She's out of range. She can't throw anything at. Well, she could, but she's got a weak right arm, so. Anyway, there's nothing like it. Bacon and eggs and coffee in the morning, and it's just awesome. Can you imagine doing that with Jesus? If there's anybody you'd like to have breakfast with, get up in the morning with, it would be with Jesus. And that's what these guys got to do. Let me kind of set this whole thing up. Have there ever been any times when you failed miserably, when you had a goal that you didn't reach, a relationship that didn't work out, maybe a marriage that ended in divorce, or you were going to school and you didn't finish and you've always regretted it. Maybe you thought you'd be further in your career right now. Spiritually, maybe you're not where you thought you'd be. Maybe you're even questioning if you love the Lord at all. If you've ever been like that, you're in good company, because Peter felt this way after he denied the Lord. And this is all about Peter's restoration. It's all about Peter's recommissioning. You know, breakfast with Jesus was when he asks a pointed question that he's still asking today. And the question was, do you love me? So Peter, in this situation, is radically backslidden. He hadn't planned on it. One thing just kind of led to another, and it started in the upper room. When you look at this passage here, Simon Peter in verse 3 says, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We're going with you." Here's how that reads in Greek. This is in Young's literal testament. Simon Peter says, "I go away to fish." In Wieck's New Testament, he's a Greek scholar, he said it this way. Simon Peter says to them, "I'm going off, breaking my former connections to my former fishing business." And they say to him, "As for us, we are coming also to join you." Now, why would Peter do that? And the reason is obvious. We're only a few weeks at the max outside of the death of Jesus. And you know what happened with Peter. That backslide started with Peter's boast. He's in the upper room with the other disciples. Jesus says, "You guys are all going to abandon me." And Peter says, "Even though all of these guys deny you, I will never deny you." And he was adamant about the whole thing. And you remember what Jesus said to Peter? "Peter, before the night's over, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me." And Peter said, "I will never do it." And then you get to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. It wasn't just Peter, but it was James and John too. And it was after, you know, admittedly, it was after Passover. Passover is like Thanksgiving for the Jews. Thanksgiving and 4th of July all in one. And so they'd just eaten a big meal, and they're there in the middle of the night. And Jesus said, "Will you pray with me?" It's the one time that he asked something from them. And they said, would you pray with me?" And they said, "Yes." And he went off by himself to talk to the Father, and they ended up going to sleep. Three different times they did that. And so you have Peter's lack of prayer. Then you have Peter getting in the flesh. He wakes up when all the soldiers come to get Jesus. He wakes up, whips out his sword, and he goes after the high priest's servant and trying to take his head off, but he's a fisherman, and all he gets is an ear. And so the ear comes off, and they're screaming. There's got to be, you ever been hit in the ear? Yeah. How many of you wrestled? Yeah, they got that headgear on you for a reason. And it's because getting hit in the ear hurts really badly. And then you have Peter walking distantly from the Lord. It literally says Peter followed Jesus at a distance, and then you find him by the enemy's fire. And it's at that point that Peter denies Jesus three times. And after the three denials, there's the locking of eyes with Jesus, the one he betrayed. And at that, you know, Peter would have just been devastated. And he's too fearful to follow Jesus to the cross. So there's no chance to apologize. The last thing he did was an ultimate act of betrayal. There's no way to make it right. You know, you may have had a situation like this with a friend or a family member, somebody who has passed away. And maybe the last time that you talked to them, it wasn't good. Maybe you said things that you regret. And the hardest thing about that is there's no going back and doing a do-over. There's no getting it right at that point. You may be thinking, if only I hadn't said that. If only I could tell them how much I love them. If only I could make it right. And you've got exactly the same thing with Peter. Exactly the same thing with Peter. Now, Jesus is already raised from the dead. And so the women have seen him. Mary Magdalene has seen him. Peter and John ran to the tomb. And then two disciples saw him on the road to Emmaus. When Peter and John get back to the other disciples, Jesus appears to them at that point. And then about a week later, Jesus appears to them again. And that's when Thomas gets a one-on-one with Jesus. And Jesus does that whole thing with, "Here's my hands, here's my feet, stick your finger in my hands and stick your fist in my side. Don't be disbelieving, but be believing, Thomas." And so Thomas does all that stuff, examines him completely. "Here, give me your hand, let me stick." No, what he does is he hits his knees and he says, "My Lord and my God." And you have Thomas realizing that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. What we don't see in the Gospels is a secret meeting with Peter. And the way we find out about it is from Paul the Apostle over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says that Jesus met with Peter one-on-one, alone. And so it would be at that point that Jesus would be forgiving Peter. Obviously, they're having a conversation there, and so Jesus is going to address the elephant in the room, and he's going to forgive Peter for what he's done. And he probably said something along the lines of, Peter, I told you, buddy. And so, yeah, you denied me, but I also told you that when you're converted, you need to encourage your brethren. And so it would be at that point that Jesus would be forgiving him. And so that's great, but often that's not enough, is it? When you've done something so over the top. And that's where Peter's at. He's a complete failure at that for which Jesus had called him. He was called to be a witness. He was called to be a fisher of men. He was called to be one sent by God. That's what apostle means. He was called to be a holy disciple, and he'd failed in everything that he was supposed to be doing. And Peter wasn't used to being a failure. Peter was a stand-up guy. Peter was actually, you know, one of the cool things about Peter, even though Jesus rebuked him for it, was that he stood up in front of over 800 guys to try to protect God. But he did stand up in front of 800 guys. And you know that from the Greek in the text. That's how many guys came to get him. And so Simon Peter is just dejected, and he doesn't feel like he's worth anything at this point. And so he says, I'm going fishing. And as we said, I'm going off. I'm breaking my former connections to my former fishing business. And these guys say that they're going to go away with him. And so Peter goes fishing, and you see in verse 4, it says, well, in verse 3, it says, they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus, and Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And so once again, Peter's out fishing, and once again, you don't see Peter catching anything. So not only is he a failure at apostling, he's a failure at fishing. And this is something that you see throughout the Gospels with these guys. I don't know how they made a living, because every time you see them, they're not catching anything, and Jesus has to come along and tell them where the fish are. And one of the things that you have here as an illustration is the fact that Jesus isn't in the boat. Peter's on his own at this point. The other guys are with him, but he's in the boat on his own. And I like it that the other guys are with him. They're not just going to let their friend go. These guys are faithful brothers to Peter. They know that he's dejected. They know what kind of fool he feels like, and they're not willing to let him go there. And so they go with him fishing, hoping that something will turn him around. You need faithful brothers. You need faithful sisters who will be around you. Remember, one of my favorite stories is the guy who was a paralytic, and he had four friends, and they wanted to bring him to Jesus because Jesus was in town and Jesus could heal anything as far as they were concerned. And so they figured, we'll take him to Jesus and God will heal him. And when they got there, the house was so packed out that they couldn't get to him. So what they did was they got up on top of the roof. And roofs in those days, actually in some places in the Middle East to this day, are like porches. They're just flat roofs. They're in a desert area. And so you have stairs that go up. So they carry this dude up the stairs, and they start breaking through the roof. They start busting it open. And you can imagine, Jesus is down inside the building, and he's doing a Bible study or ministering to people, probably doing a Bible study. And all of a sudden, you hear this pounding on the roof. And everybody's going to be, if somebody was pounding on the roof right now, you'd all be going, ooh. What's going on? And so everybody would be doing that, and then pretty soon things are flaking down off the roof. You're never going to get through that without dropping things on people. And so there's stuff dropping on them. They tear it away, and down comes this guy. They found some rope somewhere. Down comes this guy in a litter, and he's being, you know, lowered down. I always imagined being the guy. You know, you're sitting there on a litter on your back, and your friends are like, oh, we can't get inside. And he's like, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Maybe we'll catch him later. No, we're going to take care of you, buddy. Take you up on the roof. What are you doing? It's like you're laying there. You're paralyzed. What are you doing? Because you can't move. What are you doing? And they're tearing the roof up, and then they go, we're going to lower you down. You're going to what? And so they lower him down. You know, now he's coming down, and all these people are around. He's kind of like, huh? You know? And then Jesus, heals the guy based on their faith. You want people around you who have your back. And that's exactly what's happening with these guys. Life without Jesus. Life lived in your own strength. Life lived outside the will of God. And there's a lack of success here. And again, you know, I'm kind of picking on these guys a little bit when I'm saying that you never see them catching fish. Obviously, at some point they had to be catching fish. It's their business, it's their livelihood, and so there's going to be a proficiency at that. But one of the things that happens when you run into God is a lot of times God doesn't really give a rip about your proficiencies. And what he does is he uses the things that you think you're going to replace him with, and he makes sure that you fail at those things. Lack of success. Peter's going fishing, and God's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to go fishing. You're not going to catch anything, though. And, you know, that many times is something that God takes us through. There are times when we just want to do what we want to do, and God goes, nope, 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 don't do that, nope. And then finally he says, okay. And he allows you to go there. He says yes to that thing that you won't let go of. There's a psalm in Psalm 106:15 that says, and he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their souls. And sometimes when God grants you your request, a request that he's told you over and over that he doesn't want to give you, and he sends that leanness to your soul, it includes compromise, it includes lies. There's a spiritual cost to your worldly success. And we're a success-oriented society, aren't we? We want to succeed. I was my class's most likely to succeed. They took a picture of me at a sink washing dishes. And underneath it said, Steve Winery, most likely to succeed, right? So what's success? Is Jesus a success? Yeah, absolutely. Is he a success according to our standards? Did he have a long life? Successful to have a long life. Did he have a long life? Nope. Died at 33. Did he have popularity? For a while. And then, like, literally, a week before less than a week before he gets put on a cross, he's got this whole city of Jerusalem shouting out that he's the king of the Jews and asking him to save them. The whole city of Jerusalem. And within 4 days, they've turned on him. Crowds can be really fickle. And so he had popularity for a while. How about financially successful? Jesus said he had no place to lay his head. He had one garment, and they'd cast lots for it so they wouldn't have to tear it up into four pieces. Did he have faithful friends? How'd that work out? Because when Jesus goes to the cross, he goes to the cross all by himself. All by himself. John showed up. Some of the women showed up. But the rest of the disciples were nowhere to be found. Did he have the respect of his peers, professionals? Did he have that? Well, the religious leadership were the peers, and they hated his guts, and they canceled him. Cancel culture started a long time ago. They canceled Jesus. And they thought permanently. So was Jesus a success? And yeah, he was, because there have been more lives changed, more destinies secured by Jesus than by anyone who ever lived. Jesus is the one person that's been famous for thousands of years because of the work that he's done in the lives of those who have followed him.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.